Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Martellaro, and this week my guest is Smile Software Text Expander Evangelist, Jeff Gamet. Welcome.
It's cool to be here, and really interesting to hear you introduce me in that way.
Well, I'm going to introduce you even further. For the listeners, you are the former managing editor of the Mac Observer, a position you held for 13 years. You're also a book author and noted podcaster. And recently, you left the Mac Observer to become the Smile Software Text Expander Evangelist. Pretty cool. Not that we don't miss you.
Oh, thanks. It is cool. It's sad to be gone from Mac Observer, but at the same time, you have to do new things every now and then and mix it up in your life. Otherwise, everything kind of stagnates.
I have lots of questions to ask you about that.
You okay. Ready? I am so ready.
All right. So number one, this must have been a really big change for you, as we've talked about. So what are some of the biggest challenges of this new job? Just off the cuff, just for starters, what's the big thing that happened that was a challenge?
Well, you're right. Holy crap. What a big change. I mean, going from the tech journalism blogging world into working for a software company it's a huge change. I'd say the biggest thing for me has been adapting to a totally new and very different style of working, because I'm not working on a news deadline driven schedule anymore.
Of course.
The planning that we do, and of course when I worked with you, we were doing some planning for content that was farther out, but when you're working from the other side, so now I'm inside a software company, Smile. It's very different because now you're working on the company's roadmap.
So, for example, you got a release coming up scheduled for March of 19, and everybody gets all hands on deck to get ready for months and months to get ready for that future date. Is that about it?
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly it. And to be clear, sorry, people, John isn't giving you any inside knowledge about a big text expander update coming in March of next year.
No, I just think that random.
It's just random. But yes, I mean, there are product updates that are rolling out, and there are different features that are in the works. And so you have that time schedule that you're working under. So it's in that sense, it's easier to know farther out what it is that you need to be working on at any given moment. That's a big change.
So speaking of time schedules, I know when you were at the Mac Observer, you would get up very early, dark 30, long before our morning meeting, and have plenty of time to get ready and to read and write news. Is your daily, hourly schedule changed much? Are you able to sleep later because you don't have to be on East Coast time?
You know, I do not miss the schedule. The whole thing with getting up between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, depending on how much energy I had on a given day, I don't do that anymore. And I'm not saying that in a complaining way, because I certainly didn't mind working on East Coast time, even though I live in Boulder, Colorado. It was fine. It's what I did, and I didn't mind. But getting to sleep in a little later in the mornings, it's nice. And it did really change how I approach my mornings.
Go ahead.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. It's interesting because my morning routine with Mac Observer, it was all about what important news has to happen in this moment.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. So you get up early and you're reading news and you're all set. And by the time we hit the morning meeting, you were geared up for every important thing that was happening that day. And now you've got other duties and other timelines. Do you feel like you're kind of suddenly detached from the hot stuff that's going on? I've been dying to ask you this.
To a degree, yes. But at the same time, I wouldn't have been doing what I did with Mac Observer for so long if I didn't love it. And if I didn't love staying on top of the news. So I'm still doing my morning news ritual with seeing what sort of things are happening. But it feels a lot more casual now, because instead of me going out and like really hunting to find what's interesting today and deciding how that should be covered, I'm going out and looking to see what everyone's written. And I'm getting to take a more casual approach to staying on top of the news in the Apple world and in the technology world in general.
When you say what everyone's written, are you referring to reviews of Smile products or forum comments or something else?
For me, I'm looking at just the news. So I have this new routine that
I'm talking about. Your new routine. Or you?
Oh yeah. Well, my new routine, when I get up in the morning and I sit down to have breakfast, I start going through the
you
general
get to do that?
News. It's crazy, John.
Wow, you get to eat breakfast. Yay.
It's so weird. For the first time in 13 years, breakfast isn't something that I do while I'm working. It's something that I do, and then I sit down at my computer to work. But yeah, I'll sit at my table having breakfast with my iPad out, and I'm reading the general technology news, and of course I do go through my emails to make sure that there aren't any things that have come up that I need to be aware of for Smile before I really start my day. But yeah, I get to sit down and read through the news. The tech world news before I jump into my day. And yes, if you're thinking of asking, yes, I am reading Mac Observer in the mornings.
Yeah, of course you got to keep up with what's going on. Yeah. We might publish a review you should know about or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
Yeah. So often
or
people
you'll have a really cool analysis that I want to read.
Oh,
and that was one thing that I loved when I worked with Mac Observer was reading your analysis pieces. And I love that I still get to do that. And I get the surprise of not knowing until it's published what it is you're writing about.
Well, in that vein, often one job helps one develop skills that are applicable in another job. I know that working for Lockheed Martin helped me prepare for Apple in some very specific ways. How about you? Were there any job skills that you acquired that translated over that you can think of?
It's interesting how much of what I did at Mac Observer does translate nicely into Smile. Although I'm using my skills in most cases in different ways, because I'm not sitting down in the morning and figuring out what news needs to be covered, but I still need to be able to write quickly, and I need to be able to say things in ways that people will understand and be able to relate to.
There, a writing skill comes in there. Communication.
Yes. Yes, communication skills, my organization skills. That's been put to the test, which is great, because it's not like I wasn't organized before. So tools like OmniFocus that gets used a lot. I'm still a big Trello fan. So the tools that I was using at Mac Observer to stay organized and on top of everything that I have going on, I'm still using those same tools. I just am using them for different tasks and different projects now.
Like Slack? Are you guys on Slack again?
Slack, absolutely. Yep. So Slack is one of those apps that just has to stay open all the time, because that's pretty much the de facto now for remote communication.
What did you need to learn? What did you need to unlearn and do differently? At Mac Observer, we had the liberty of strong personal opinions, but now you're part of a corporation that has its public eye and under scrutiny, and you no longer have the liberty to express your own personal opinion in ways you did at Mac Observer. Are there anything along those lines where you had to unlearn how you write and communicate?
No, at least not yet. What I found is that the communication skills that I used at Mac Observer, they're the same communication skills that I'm using at Smile. And the big difference is, how am I approaching what it is that I'm saying to people? And in some cases, it's not that different, but it's not like I'm writing an analysis or an editorial about a topic. Right. And honestly, I've been with Smile a short enough time now that there's really not that much for people to see. But of course, that will change over time, because as time goes by, you're writing more and more content. It just keeps building up. And my expectation is that the voice that I have is the voice that people are interested in. So the things that I will be producing or creating for Smile, they will still have my voice. And if that's not a voice that Smile wanted, then they wouldn't have hired me.
I imagine one does have to be a little more careful and be more tactful with customers, as opposed to being a little more sometimes blunt with readers. Just a guess.
You know, actually, I'm so glad you brought that up. One thing that Smile did with me when I started, it was to have me taking customer support calls. And I think that was such a brilliant thing to do. And honestly, I think it's something that if you're in a company like Smile or some other software or service company where customer support is part of what the company does, I think everyone in the company should do customer support at least a little bit every year.
Sure.
And it was great, because I got to experience the questions and issues that people have in a way that I wouldn't have been able to appreciate had I just looked at a list of these are the common things that people have trouble with. Or, you know, so the first question we typically get from someone is this. And it really helps reinforce the need to have empathy for people when they're having trouble. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing tips at Mac Observer, I would go into those tips knowing that I was explaining how to do something that was a real problem for someone else. Even if I was just thinking, hey, you know, it'd be really cool if people knew about this feature. For someone, that was going to be a huge thing for them. So I had that empathy then, and doing the customer support calls at Smile has really reinforced the need for that.
Cool. Well, we've run out of time in the first segment, and as you know, we have to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you some more detailed questions about Text Expander and what it does and fill us in on some other things. But first, we have to take a short commercial break. Folks, we'll be back in 60 seconds. I'm chatting with Smile Software's Text Expander evangelist, Jeff Gamet. Stay with us.
Hello there, all you fabulous background mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage where we have a section called Support TMO. Or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
And we're back. I'm chatting with Jeff Gamet. So here's your chance to be a real evangelist. For those listeners who, maybe the one or two of them on the planet who may not know, fill us in on Text Expander. What is it? How does it work? How much does it cost? How do you get it? Give us the whole spiel.
All right. So the whole thing with Text Expander, I used to describe it in a different way, which was, hey, you type something and it's an abbreviation, and then it turns into this other thing, which is all the words that you wanted to type, and hey, it saved you time and you don't have typos, and it's a cool thing. And what I realized over the years is that for me, it's actually like having my own personal productivity assistant. And that assistant is making sure that I'm getting stuff right. So it's like my little accuracy checker. And it's a tool that saves me time by not just typing the things that I have to type over and over. It's a tool that's also automating a lot of what I do. So I'll give you an example that relates to Mac Observer specifically. When I was managing editor, one of the things that I needed to do every month was make sure that all the payment reports for freelance writers was handled. So each month I would send a report to each freelance writer so that they could look and see what they had written and make sure that the list that I had matched up with the list that they had. Well, that's a pretty repetitious thing. So what I did was I created a snippet that would let me choose the email address for whoever it was that I was sending the report to. And then it gave me a fill in the blanks. So I could type their name. And then it created this whole report with the subject line for the correct month. And it just had everything in there. And all I had to do was type, in my case, it was comma writer. And then it would just generate this whole email for me. So something that would have otherwise taken me, like, seriously, over an hour to do, became a project that was about 5 minutes of time.
Pretty cool. And I liked what you said about accuracy, because so much of the stuff we type over and over again becomes variable if we're not paying attention. And I was just thinking the other day about OCD behavior. If you're not attentive to the little things and details, then you're not going to be a good writer, because things change every time you write it, like for the small H in gigahertz instead of a big H, and you just kind of cruise through it. But Text Expander can help you be consistent and accurate as well as save time.
I like yes. that. Yeah. And for those people that do gigahertz wrong, just make a snippet with gigahertz spelled the way you do it, and the expansion is the correct way.
Please, please do that.
It'll make John happy.
It makes me crazy. So how do you get Text Expander? Is it subscription only?
It's subscription only, but if you're someone that is in a situation where that's just really, really not going to work for you.
Like an icebreaker in the Ross Sea.
Yeah. Where for whatever reason, you may not be able to renew your subscription because you don't have an internet connection. Uh-huh. You can still get version 5. And that's a perpetual license, like all the previous versions of Text Expander. But Text Expander 6, that's the current version. It's a subscription model, so it's $49 a year. If you have a previous Text Expander license, then you get it for half off just forever, because that's how it works. If you haven't been using Text Expander and you want to try it out, no problem. You can download it, and you get a 30-day trial, so you can see if it works for you, and you can put it on your Mac. It runs on Windows. You can put it on your iOS devices. And so for me, it's cool because I'm running Text Expander on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. And when I'm writing on my iPad, I'm using the Text Expander keyboard there. So the same snippets that I use for words and phrases on my Mac, I'm using them on my iPad when I'm typing there. Pretty nice.
For Mac OS, is it available in the Mac App Store, or is it too deep in the guts of Mac OS to get there?
Now, you can get it through the Mac App Store, but if you prefer to go outside the Mac App Store, that's okay. You can download it from the Text Expander website as well.
So how do you handle the subscription in the Mac App Store? Do you download it and then it's treated as a renewing subscription every year? How does that work?
Yeah, it's just a renewing subscription every year, and then you can get at your subscription information right in the app settings. Cool. So you can stay on top of yeah.
Are you, as an evangelist, are you feeling any pushback on the subscription model, or is that water under the bridge now?
The subscription model, I've had one person complain to me about it.
One. It's pretty good.
One person. And I get it, because it's one of those things where for some people that just simply isn't something they're interested in. And that's okay, because there are different models that work best for different people. I think in the beginning it was kind of scary for some people, because change is hard. And when a product that you've been using maybe for years changes how their license works, then I can see where that would be really scary for some people. And a lot of people, I think, we're afraid that meant that their version 5 with a perpetual license was going to stop working. And that's not the case. You know, it still works just fine.
Good to know. Did Mojave create any special issues through enhanced security?
Mojave did. Yeah. A Text Expander, because it's working at a pretty low level to be able to monitor what you're typing and do it in a secure way. There were issues that were popping up where the permissions that Text Expander needed weren't getting set properly, even though people would have gone through the setup correctly. And that was just one of those weird Mojave things. And the fix was easy. You know, you just go in and get and delete out the Text Expander helper tools and system preferences. And then when you launch Text Expander, it puts them back in and you're good to go. So yeah, there were little problems, but there weren't any showstoppers.
Cool. So I wanted to ask you, have you had to change your work environment? I know we joked about overlapping windows in your workspace at Mac Observer. Have you had to install any special new applications or even hardware to work in the Smile family, or is everything just kind of like your Mac the way it was?
John, you would love my screen. Actually, no, you wouldn't. You would hate my screen. It is still windows overlapping each other, just like it was before.
Jeff and I joke about that. I hate overlapping windows. I'm not looking at any overlapping windows on my display right now. But I kid Jeff about having overlapping windows.
And every now and then I would send John a screenshot. And I'm sure it was especially painful because it was 34 inches of screen with all overlap. The big change for me is that there are different online tools that I need to use as part of Smile that I didn't use when I was with Mac Observer.
Online tools. Can you tell me what you mean?
Oh, sure. So, you know, there's the tools that you use as part of Smile, just for managing the things that Smile has to stay on top of. And like, if you're doing customer support, there are special web-based tools that you use for that so that you can manage all of the incoming support requests and log everything that's happening with those and stay on top of them. And then there are the tools that the company has for making sure that if there's a problem with someone's license or subscription, that you can fix that for them. So there's a lot of administrative back-end sort of tools that I'm using now that I didn't use at Mac Observer because those weren't the appropriate tools.
But your learning curve at the Mac Observer meant you were always confronted by new things. So this must have been an easy transition. Just another app to learn, right?
Yes, more apps to learn. And if I hadn't been coming from a job where I was so deeply entrenched in the technology world, I could see where it would have been pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
But in my case, it was more a matter of I am so glad that I have one password so that I can keep track of all the new passwords. And I did have a thing come up just recently where I was asked, hey, do you have access to this one utility? And I said, no, that doesn't sound familiar. Well, when I went and looked in 1Password, I actually had my login set up. So there were so many different things that I had to get set up with initially that I had actually forgotten that I was set up for one of these things.
How do you do your evangelism? Should I look for you at the Smile site at the other end of a chat box, or do you have a blog where you reach out to customers, or is it through Twitter and Instagram? How do you reach out and touch people to evangelize?
There's a lot of avenues for that. So the social media aspect, absolutely. So there's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's LinkedIn. Those are the big ones right there. But the various social media platforms, then there are webinars that Smile does. So people want to learn new features about how to use Text Expander. Okay. We have webinars for that. And so we're still new enough into me coming on with Text Expander and Smile. I haven't had a chance to do any of the webinars yet, but that's one of the things that I'll be doing. So if you want to learn more about using Text Expander while you're sitting at your desk, then just watch the different social media things for me to say, hey, new webinar coming up, or you can just go to the Text Expander website and sign up. Then there are some video ideas that I'm working on, user groups. That's a thing that I do, which is great because I did that when I worked with Mac Observer. So I'm glad I get to keep doing that.
Your video reviews were awesome.
Good, thank you.
Camera presence. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So the videos, going out and doing user groups, and I'm still going to conferences just like I did before. Although now, in addition to conferences, I'll be going to other trade show events. So I get to add in a new thing there. And, yeah. So there's a Text Expander blog. And I'll be adding to that soon too. So the sorts of places you would expect to find me when I work for Mac Observer, those sorts of places still apply. It's just that my title is going to be different when you see me there. And I'll be talking about a more narrow area of the tech world than I did before.
So tell me about Smile as a company. Who are the principals and founders? Kind of give me an overview of the team and who's your boss?
So the company was founded by Greg Scone and Philip Goward. And that was years ago. And John, you and I have been around long enough that when I name drop PageSender, you may actually remember it. It was a fax software app for the Mac.
Yeah. I think I remember now.
Yeah.
On my PowerBook 100.
Yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago. Yeah. And so that's what they started with. And so the company has grown over the years. And do you remember their CD label software, Disk Label?
Yes.
I used the crap out of that too back in the day.
Back when the company was called Smile on My Mac instead of abbreviated Smile Software.
Yes, they've had different products along the way. Their two big things right now are Text Expander, of course, and PDF Pen, So I suppose that means that Philip and Greg are both my bosses, and I work very closely with Maya Olson. She is in charge of the media presence and publicity, things like that. So I suppose that means Maya's my boss too.
Do you ever have to get on a plane and go visit the offices just to be in a big meeting or presentation, or is it just exclusively remote unless you get together for a conference?
It's pretty much remote all the time. Yeah. But there are events, yes, where we can get together and like so many companies in this space, there are occasional group events where we try to get everyone together.
Cool. Well, we're running out of time, and I've asked all the burning questions that I could think of. What did I forget to ask you that you want to talk about? Anything?
You know, you are so good at this. Oh, no, it's okay to put me on the spot, because it's not like you never did before. Actually, there's one thing you did not ask me about.
Okay.
And it was podcasts, because I don't do daily observations anymore, and I don't do Apple Context Machine anymore. So
I thought you were kind of covering that under the webinar umbrella, but I guess I forgot to ask you specifically about that. Yeah. Yeah. So you got one in the works?
Well, how about if I say I have some ideas for some interesting podcasts. And once the dust settles from me coming on board with Smile, I think that we'll have more to talk about. How's that sound?
All right. This sounds exciting. I can't wait. All right. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks again for joining me. It's been a fascinating discussion about your transition. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me on. And John, when I say it's a real treat to be on, I really mean that, because I remember when you started the show and how excited I was that background mode was going to be a thing. And I have loved how it's grown and how your interview style has just shown through all of this. So it's so great to get to circle back around and be a part of this from the other side.
That's why I wanted to have you on the show, just sort of circle around and kind of just see where you are. Yep. So tell the listeners how they can contact you. What's the best way?
I am easy to find. My Twitter and Instagram names did not change. I'm still Jay Gamut, so I'm easy to find both places. Email me. I'm easy to find there. I'm jeffg@textexpander.com. And then, of course, you can find me at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining me. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Listeners, I'm really glad you came by, too, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You have been listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. We'll see you again next week.